This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Washington Watch. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony's the president of the Family Research Council, as you well know, and I am the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University here in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, where today we were honored to actually have Tony on our campus speaking in chapel to our students and our alumni here in our homecoming chapel service at Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Honored to stand with Tony, honored to stand with the Family Research Council in its defense of your religious freedom, its support of your liberties, your freedom to practice your faith in private, in your church, in your home, but also in public, in the town square, in the marketplace of ideas. It's proud to stand with Tony Perkins and the Family Research Council. In fact, today I gave him the President's Award from Oklahoma Wesleyan University as a valued friend and partner in standing for the primacy of Jesus Christ, the priority of Scripture, the pursuit of truth, and the practice of wisdom. On today's show, we will be talking about the IRS and its recent apology for purposefully and knowingly and unfairly targeting conservative groups during the Obama administration. And is tax reform on the horizon? We will talk to Congressman Steve Russell from here in Oklahoma about those two issues. The next story we will visit at the quarter hour is the issue of negative vitriol and hateful rhetoric in politics today. Are you tired of it? Do you feel alone? Do you feel threatened? Do you feel that you lack a safe place in the face of this ironic call that they hate hateful people and they're sure that nothing is sure and they know nothing can be known and they can't tolerate your intolerance? How do we deal with that? Well, William Owen Jr. will join us. He's a poet and an author, and he has a word or two for us to encourage us on how to deal with that type of rhetoric in the public square and in politics today. At the bottom of the hour, we will talk to a dear friend of mine, somebody that I'm also proud to stand with, and that is the president of the College of the Ozarks. I'm not in the practice, or I don't make it a routine to promote other colleges or universities other than my own here at Oklahoma Wesleyan University, but there's one that I do speak favorably all the time, and that's College of the Ozarks and its president, Dr. Jerry Davis, who has taken a very firm stand on the requirement on his campus that students and student-athletes will stand for the national anthem. We may talk with Jerry about that, but also he's announced a new course at the College of the Ozarks that will be required of all freshmen, and it's basically, I'm paraphrasing it, this is my name for it, America 101. It's a new course that requires all students to be educated in civics and government, in the history and the reason for the Pledge of Allegiance, in the history and the reason for the national anthem and our nation's flag, and why at CFO, the College of the Ozarks, he requires his students to respect all of the above. Good for Jerry Davis. Oklahoma Wesleyan proudly stands with him. Well, back to the lead story here. Yesterday, the House passed in a vote of 216 to 212 the Senate budget proposal in a quest for massive tax reform. The Tax Writing Ways and Means Committee will release a full draft of the tax plan next Wednesday and begin voting on it in its committees that follow in that given week. And yesterday, the IRS apologized as the Department of Justice reached a settlement with conservative groups that claimed unfair targeting during the Obama administration, something that was denied by President Obama forthrightly, but has now been proven. And in fact, the IRS is apologizing for it because of their targeting of tax-exempt organizations based on their party affiliation and their suspected conservative ideology. Joining us now is Congressman Steve Russell from here in Oklahoma's 5th Congressional District. He serves on the House Committee on Government Oversight and Reform and on the House Armed Services Committee. Congressman Russell, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Dr. Piper. It's always good to talk with you.
Well, likewise to you. For the listeners here, Congressman Russell and I enjoyed each other's company as we were both in Poland a few short weeks ago. I got to tag along on his congressional delegation to Poland and learn a lot as I listened to the congressman and others talking about the politics and the economics and the and the positive movement within the Polish culture toward liberty and freedom, somewhat admirable in light of some of the things we have to face here, right, Congressman?
Absolutely. No, the Polish people are doing tremendous things, and it's wonderful to see not only their economic growth, but their stand on so many things for, you know, their freedom and self-assertion in Poland.
All right, so we've got this story where the IRS is apologizing and it's admitting that it actually targeted conservative groups, something that the Obama administration repeatedly denied. Lois Lerner denied it. The president denied it. But now we have proof and apparently even the acknowledgement that some 400 conservative groups were indeed targeted. Comment on that. What do you think of this story, Congressman?
I think it's stunning. You know, before, unlike Lois Lerner's, kind of somewhat guarded apologies about, you know, she was sorry if anybody was affected, but it was mismanagement, it wasn't a targeting or whatever. You know, nothing could be tied to that. But here is a clear admission when an agency was absolutely up to wrongdoing, and now they've settled with these groups. I mean, just listen to this, the language. The IRS admits that its treatment of plaintiffs during the tax-exempt determination process, including screening their applications based on their names or policy positions, subjecting those applications to heightened scrutiny or inordinate delays, and demanding some plaintiffs' information that TIG to determine was unnecessary to the agency's determination for their tax exempt status was wrong. For such treatment, IRS expresses its sincere apology, and they go on, as you stated, to pay. Are willing to pay the claims of over 400 groups in the case. This is a victory for our government, for we the people. The power of the government draws its power from the consent of the people. And when the government overstepped its bounds, they were held to account. Now they've apologized, and now they are making restitution. I'm stunned.
It is stunning. Now, I'm naive. I don't know how this all works. Seriously, I'm not being facetious here. It sounds to me, as you read that admission and the conclusions of that investigation, that there must have been a criminal act in terms of that somebody in the IRS was doing stuff that was wrong. Were they doing things that were illegal? And will there be any consequences ventured upon those that were involved in those illegal acts?
Well, the fact that they're willing to settle it, I'm sure it will be based on no admission of outright wrongdoing or guilt, but that they are willing to settle this and move on rather than face the lawsuit. So like many legal issues and problems, I don't know that it determines an admission of guilt, but it certainly is an admission of apology and an admission to make restitution. And you know what? That's still a win.
It is a win. Basically, if you had the word Tea Party or the words Tea Party in your organization's application for 501c3 status, or I would even suggest if you had anything there in there that smacked of a Judeo-Christian ethic or identity, you were targeted by the IRS and you were reviewed negatively. That's what they're admitting and that's what they're apologizing for.
So the evidence must have been pretty compelling, in my view. I know when we looked at much of this on the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, it seemed obvious to us that, you know, regardless of how they wanted to phrase it or parse it or, you know, try to block it or, you know, not admit, it became pretty apparent to just, you know, the average American looking at it that, hey, come on, this is just clearly wrong. You're clearly singling out these groups. And so now that we have that admission and we have that settlement, that's a win for our republic and for our republic institutions. That's the way government is supposed to work. It's supposed to be held to account.
All right, switching gears here a little bit. Yesterday the House voted 216 to 212 with regard to the Tax Ways and Means Committee and the potential change of tax policy here in the United States. I just botched that in terms of putting my layman's terms over the top of it. So if you want to correct me and tell me what it was actually called and then give us any overview that this should be hopeful, and if so, why and how and when.
Well, what we did was last several weeks, several things have happened. One, the House, we passed a very, very conservative budget that did a number of what we felt were remarkable things, assertive things, to try to get towards some reforms, to include tax reform. That would be a part of it. We sent it to the Senate, and we did pass it out of the House. We sent it to the Senate. The Senate made its changes. Now, you know, not all of us agreed with those changes or liked the things that they rolled back or whatever, but being a vehicle, I was kind of surprised they passed it and sent it back to the House. So then now we had an opportunity. You know, we could complain that we had a rickety old jalopy that was only going to go 35, 40 miles an hour, and, you know, it should be something faster, better, or sexier or whatever. But in this case, it is a vehicle that will get us to where we need to go. So we took up that provision in the House, and by passing it, we now have circumvented so much of the problems that it would take to get to true tax reform. By passing both the House and Senate budget and doing it under reconciliation rules, we can truly see some tax reform with a 50-vote prospect, or 51 votes. In the case of 50 votes, Vice President can break a tie. So a lot of us are very optimistic now that we will no longer have this deadlock, we'll no longer have these committee fights and add-ons. Much of that will be bypassed now. It will go straight to the Ways and Means Committee, and the tax bill should roll out here at the beginning of next month. And then we will work that in the House, get it over to the Senate, and at that, we think we can get it passed with a 51-vote prospect, and we will have some form of tax reform.
You're confident we will.
It's the best thing I see going right now. The fact that we now, you know, it could be like the healthcare thing where you got one or two holdouts. That's always a possibility. But I think that we will certainly get things passed that we agree on. And, you know, while it may not be perfect of what everybody on whatever their perspective is wants, the fact that we are doing tax reform at all, we've not had any since 1986, this will be a huge win, and it'll move us in the right direction.
I'm going to pivot with you on a different subject here. And basically, we've got about 2.5 minutes left in this segment. There's a college in Missouri, College of the Ozarks.
Yeah, I've spoken there. Wonderful place.
Excellent place. And Dr. Jerry Davis, the president there, just announced a couple things. One thing is that he announced that all athletes participating on his grounds or in his gymnasium must stand for the national anthem, not only his own athletes, but any visiting athletes. He expects those visitors to be respectful and honor the host institution and stand and honor the flag and the anthem that gives them the freedoms they enjoy here in the United States. As a result of that, the NAIA, the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, has just announced that the National Basketball Championship that C of O has hosted for the last 18 years will no longer be held there. I am sorry, Congressman. Give me a 30-second response on that, because I used up too much time. Give me a 20-second response.
Well, I think there'll probably be some lawsuits over that. And then, you know, with regard to the NFL, I think Rocky Blyer had it right. That's their workplace. That is part of their job. Therefore, they can't protest on the job. They can save that for a later time.
Thank you, Congressman. Thank you so much, Congressman, for joining us. Coming up next, the College of the Ozarks president, Dr. Jerry Davis, will join me, and we'll speak with him right after this break.
Gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. Our culture once rewarded independence. Now it rewards victimhood. Parents once taught their kids how to fend for themselves. Now any parent who tries may get a visit from the police. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including demands for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin, and digs in his heels against the sad and dangerous dumbing down of the American spirit. Dr. Piper has become known for his passionate defense of intellectual freedom, and he challenges the intolerant tolerance of today's academic community. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch. Again, that's frc.org/speakers. In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, sitting in for Tony Perkins this afternoon. Remember that if you want to follow Tony on Twitter, it's T. Perkins. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Dr. Everett Piper. That's DREVERETTPIPER. Again, T. Perkins for Tony and Dr. Everett Piper for me on Twitter. All right, freshman students at the College of the Ozarks, which is just up the road from Bartlesville, Oklahoma here, where Oklahoma Wesleyan is, by about, let's say, three and a half hours. The freshmen there are now being required to take a class on patriotic education and fitness, which covers military customs, the American flag protocol, map reading, marksmanship, among other subjects. Joining us now, it's my honor to introduce a good friend and colleague, somebody that I agree with almost every step of the way, somebody I'm very proud to partner with in higher education, somebody that I think stands relatively alone, but I'm proud to stand with him and have his back every once in a while. Not that he needs it, but let me welcome Dr. Jerry Davis, president of College of the Ozarks, located in Lookout Mountain, Point Lookout Mountain, Missouri. Jerry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much. Nice to be on.
You've been traveling a little bit, haven't you?
That never seems to stop.
Well, welcome. All right. I'm going to get right into the meat of the issue here. You are taking a stand for patriotism, and you That's believe right. that students should be educated accordingly in terms of the freedoms that they enjoy and why they enjoy them. You've required that your students stand for the national anthem at athletic events. You've requested, if not required, that even the guests honor you, the host, and stand at those same athletic events. And now you're requiring your students to take this course in patriotic education. I'm calling it America 101. I don't know if you call it that or not, but bravo. I wish I would have thought it. Good for you. Spot on. I'm going to give you a few moments to just tell folks why you're doing it.
Well, thanks a lot. I like what Fox News said about it. They call it USA 101. The college has a patriotic goal, which is unusual, for small colleges. And we define that as to encourage an understanding of American heritage, civic responsibilities, love of country, and willingness to defend it. So we're constantly trying to find new ways to affirm that. And we decided that the basic ROTC curriculum, along with the physical training and the usual American history and civics items that we have been covering in a patriotic ed course, we could combine all that into Military Science 104, and it should be a general education requirement, because we think students need to know more about this country, and they need to know more about the sacrifice that was made for them. I think they just don't. They just are indifferent sometimes because they don't know any better, and we're raising up generations. If you ask them where Omaha Beach was, they might say Nebraska, and that might be funny, but we need to have students and future leaders that are well-informed. So that's why we did it. We've been teaching patriotic education for a number of years, but we had this pilot course last year, so now it's being required of everybody, and it's been very well-received. We've been very pleased with it.
Well, and again, I can't agree with you more. This is exactly what culture needs. There was a time when education was supposed to prepare an educated citizenry that understood the obligation to a constitutional republic and understood why we enjoy the freedoms we enjoy, and a citizenry that didn't go out and try to saw off the very branch upon which it sits by condemning the very flag and the very anthem that represents the freedoms that they enjoy to be able to have free speech and all therein. It's what you're doing is in such contrast, stark contrast, to schools like Berkeley and Brown and all the other schools from coast to coast.
Well, I mean, we're a work college, as you know. All students here work. They don't have to pay an arm and a leg in tuition, but we're interested in producing citizen leaders. We're not interested in whiny elite schools, and we're trying to carry out our mission in the best way.
So Jerry, you don't have counseling centers with Play-Doh and coloring books and crayons and videos of frolicking puppies at C of O?
No,
you don't have that?
No, we have a hog farm and we have a dairy. We milk 60 Holsteins a day, do our own construction, and basically run the whole campus with student labor. So, no.
Oh, shame on you.
I mean,
that's a microaggression. Shame on you.
As you very well know, we're different than a lot of colleges, and we don't make any apologies for that because, you know, Everett, the culture since the Vietnam War has just slowly degraded itself. And we're concerned that one day we'll have several generations on our hands that don't understand their country and certainly wouldn't be comfortable if they were called upon to defend it. So we need to do a better job. I think probably all schools do, but we hope we're a good example. And if people don't like it, well, they can go to one of these nutty schools if they want to, but we think we've got a better plan.
Good for you. Oh, good for you. And not only do they not know how to defend it, many of the students, if not the majority of the current generation, doesn't know why they should defend it. The how and the why. Why should they defend the flag? Why should they defend the anthem?
But the message since the 60s has been, what's wrong with America? They don't hear what's right with America. I mean, America, our country is not perfect, but it's a long ways ahead of whatever's in second place. And so if you grow up with this viewing everything about the country through a negative lens, then we shouldn't be surprised that we've got adults running around that don't even understand the history of their own country, let alone what it stands for, and that it is a beacon of light to the world. People look to this country for leadership. They don't look to us for some bland, politically correct bunch of psycho nuts that doesn't know what they want.
Jerry, you are so refreshing. I'm glad you took a few minutes to join us on Washington Watch this afternoon. Blessings to you. Blessings to you and courage. And thank you for setting an example for all the rest of us.
Thanks.
Coming up next.
Thanks for your part, too.
Oh, thank you. Coming up next, if you're tired of the political vitriol, then you're not alone. Poet and author William Owen Jr. will join us and discuss what he thinks is the solution to some of this. We'll take a quick break and be right back in a couple minutes.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers. The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, sitting in for Tony Perkins this afternoon. Remember that the call-in number is 866-372-7234. That's 866-372-7234, and I will be taking calls in the last quarter of the hour. I'll give that to you one more time, 866-372-7234, and yes, I will be taking calls in the last quarter of the hour. Well, in recent months, the political rhetoric, you'd have to be living under a rock to not know that the political rhetoric is divisive, and it's reached all-time highs in terms of being negative and vitriolic and even resulting in violent protests. You see it on the college campuses. I've talked about that frequently. I even basically have written a book about it called Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth, where I'm trying to confront the childish protest, which often turns vitriolic and violent because we don't teach virtue and we don't teach veritas any longer. And of course, our society digresses into the selfishness, the vitriolic and the violent. We've seen stuff from Congresswoman Frederica Wilson criticizing President Trump's call to the widow of a fallen soldier and nitpicking away and trying to cause political division rather than nurture national unity. So things are dividing. It's getting wider and wider. But we have with us right now William Owens Jr., and he's a poet and an author, and he's the founder of ShiftToGreatness.org. So, and he is advocating for a biblical transition from the pain of the past to the promise and greatness for all Americans. William, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Dr. Piper. It's a pleasure to be talking with you. I know you to be a tireless advocate of intellectual freedom, so it's great to be sharing with you today. Thanks for having me.
Oh, delighted. We did get to cross paths a couple times in recent months, and out in Colorado Springs most recently, so I'm glad you're here,
yes,
too. Thanks for joining us. All right. I'm really curious, and I'm going to turn you loose here a little bit. I love the sentence that you're using where you say that you want to have a transition from the pain of the past to the promise of greatness for all Americans. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, Dr. Piper, there's not a history or not a past that none of us have issues with. We all have an ugly past. It can be a variety of issues. It can be race relations. It can be a divorce. It can be financial ruin. It can be all sorts of things. However, when we allow our past to dictate and justify our conduct today, we have, in essence, taken a shortcut. We've, in essence, justified our behavior based upon the past. And even if those issues are justifiable, as Christians, we have an advocate that has taken on our shortcomings and even the shortcomings of our enemies that gives us a right to shift to greatness. We can make a biblical transition. We don't have to have a reason. Christ became that reason for us to shift from the pain of the past to the greatness that's available for all of us as Americans, for all of us as human beings. And so when you see the hate, when you see the arguments that so many people are using to justify ideologies or conduct because of a past situation, it is really, it's not founded. There's no reason for it. And of course, we see that taking place in the political arena, but it's especially within race relations. It's as if people have a right to take a position because of something that happened years ago. Let me just be very blunt. You take a look at the African-American community, and when you see the continual revisiting of slavery, when you hear people talk about the pain that African-Americans endured, that's a fact. We understand that. However, we have to also look at the bigger picture, and that is the purposes of God. God has a purpose for everything. And I might add, not only have African Americans suffered, but there's been other ethnic groups that have suffered and continue to suffer. You have sex trafficking today. You look at the horrific experiences they have. The fact of the matter is, when we use these experiences to justify our lack of pursuing the greatness that's in each of us, we will not find it to be effective. It will not work. So what do we have to do? We have to join a group. We have to find some type of group to give us false affirmation and to justify our behavior. And that's what we see happening in our culture today. You have these groups that's creating dissension and division in our country based upon a false narrative of the past. So that's what I mean by shifting to greatness, a biblical transition, that redemption we find in Christ that allows us to say, I'm forgiven, I'm going to forgive. Now, God, what do you have for me? Why did you create me? I'm so happy to fulfill it now, and we're able to experience an abundant life and also be a conduit by which we help others to also get over their past and move on to greatness.
You know, so spot on, because basically I'm boiling down your sentence to this: past to the future, past to the future. And what you're encouraging us to do is to stop focusing on victimization, because that's a focus on the past, and to start focusing on virtue and veritas, which is the promise that Jesus gives us when he says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Thank you so much for joining us today. We are out of time on this segment, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and share your passion for moving us forward to that promise. Again, this is Dr. Everett Piper sitting in for Tony Perkins. We will take a short break, and I will be right back after that to give a little bit of a monologue and then take your calls. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234.
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference? Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
All right, welcome back to Washington Watch. Again, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, sitting in for Tony Perkins this afternoon. Remember that Tony's Twitter account is T. Perkins. So if you want to follow Tony on Twitter, go to T. Perkins. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Dr. Everett Piper. That's DREVERETTPIPER. By the way, if you're interested in learning more about Oklahoma Wesleyan University, it's www.okwu.edu. I forgot to get Dr. Jerry Davis to tell us what C of O's website is, but you can Google it. It's College of the Ozarks. Again, the call-in number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. I want to talk about College of the Ozarks a little bit more here. And again, you're welcome to call in, comment on this. I've got a few more items that we can talk about here as we go to the top of the hour. All right, one of the things that I didn't ask Jerry, because I didn't want to put him on the spot, I don't know for sure if he's ready to talk about it or not, but I'm going to talk about it because I'm going to defend College of the Ozarks and support Dr. Davis's decisions. He's recently announced that you must stand for the national anthem if you're on his property, in his gymnasium, on his field, and participating in an athletic event. It's a private campus. It's his home, so to speak. And he's asking all guests who come to participate in athletics on his campus to honor the values of his institution. And his institution values the freedoms that we enjoy and the fact that the flag and the national anthem represent those freedoms. And in fact, represent why we have them. And it makes all the sense in the world to me that he, as the president of a private institution, can establish that expectation and that rule. In fact, it seems absurd to me that anyone would suggest that they can go into his house and disregard that request and disrespect his institution by behaving differently. Well, as a result of him issuing that particular press release, where everybody participating in athletics at college on the College of the Ozarks campus, everybody participating must stand for the national anthem and show respect therein. The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics announced today that after 18 years of the College of the Ozarks hosting the NAI National Basketball Tournament on its campus, that that will be relocated this coming spring. I think this is absurd. I am a member of the NAIA. Oklahoma Wesleyan enjoys its athletic membership in that particular organization. But I have issued a note to the leadership of that organization. This is absurd. I cannot imagine why any organization that fancies itself as an organization that champions character, quote unquote, which is the motto of the NAIA, would deny that women have the right to have their own bathrooms, because the NAIA pulled out of North Carolina because of the bathroom bill, and they were protesting the legislature of North Carolina, suggesting that all biological females should be able to avail themselves of the privacy of their own restroom. The NAIA joined with the NCAA and other organizations and pulled out of North Carolina in protest of the North Carolina, quote-unquote, bathroom bill. I was disturbed by that at the time, and I actually had our women's and men's track and cross-country team pulled out of the national cross-country meet there, because I said, if you're not going to guarantee the women of Oklahoma Wesleyan the right to their own privacy, the right to their own dignity, the right to their own identity, then we're not going to send them to participate in this particular NAIA national cross-country meet. And when you want to put it in a state or put it in a location that will guarantee those rights and privileges to those female athletes of Oklahoma Wesleyan, we will send them there, but not until you make a decision that makes sense rather than this nonsense. And Jerry Davis stood with me in that. And now I stand with him in his decision to require students to stand for the national anthem. So that's my view. I think Jerry is right, and I think we should support him. I have a couple callers waiting for me. Pete in South Carolina, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Dr. Piper, wonderful job. I'm a big fan of yours, as of Tony's as well. Everybody, AFR. What we're witnessing here in the country is just outrageous. It's disgraceful. And it really, most of this goes right back to the government babysitting service that we call our school system. And only an hour ago, before I turned on your program, I was on the phone with my state representative here in South Carolina and other people at the Department of Ed, which I've been contacting for 3 years, because we're going through our periodic review of the social studies curriculum, and it is impossible to get to be involved in that process. And I do three things. I make a timeline of American history called History Strips that was at a write-up in the AFA Journal back in October of 13, I think it was. I do a public presentation about the Declaration of the Constitution and the establishment of this country. It's called The Drums of Freedom. I've memorized the Declaration in full. I've recited it over 1,200 times in 6 years. And last year I started an organization called Teach Our Christian Heritage, and the website is going to be up soon. And I'm passing out petitions. Yeah, thank you. Listen, it's all about the establishment of this country is all about Christianity. From the Mayflower Compact to the Liberty Bell, the Charter of Privileges, the Declaration of Independence 4 times. I mean, and if we were not a Christian country, we would bear no resemblance to what we really should be, which we're now getting away from.
Pete, I agree with you. You're spot on in terms of acknowledging what our history and our heritage is. It's akin to cutting off your nose to spite your face. We've heard that analogy, that metaphor, over and over again in our life. And what does that mean? It means that you damage the host in order to make a point. Why would you want to spite your face by cutting off your nose? It makes no sense. You don't want to do that. It's like sawing off the branch upon which you sit. What does that mean? The tree is important, and the branch is of no value if it's not connected to the trunk of the tree. And when you saw it off, you come tumbling down. You get hurt. And when we start dishonoring the flag and the anthem, when we start talking about our country in the negative rather than the positive, when we start being divisive rather than encouraging unity, like our previous host, William Owens, encouraged us. When we start focusing on these things and teaching victimization rather than teaching virtue and veritas, truth, then we are guilty of cutting off our nose despite our face and sawing off the branch upon which we sit. And our culture comes tumbling down, and we actually disparage the very freedoms that we claim to be protesting for, because you don't have those freedoms if you can't connect those freedoms to the truth that gave them to you in the first place. That's why this move by the NAIA is ridiculous. How in the world can you champion free speech and then turn around and dishonor the very flag and the anthem that gave it to you in the first place? It makes no sense. Cheryl in Oklahoma, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. A couple of comments, just listening to the calls and everything on that. The first one I have is that as Christians, we've kind of missed the boat on this. Remember Joseph and says what man intended for evil, God has turned into good. And yes, we have forgotten that. And we're not taking any of this stuff that was, you know, bad and saying, how are we going to move on? How are we going to do this? And if the Christians would just take hold of that, it wouldn't take long for us to to have a different movement going, but we're too weak, we're too chicken to do that. The second point that I wanted to make was about, you know, the United States flag and different things that have happened. Well, now we have this thing with the Rainbow Coalition and the rainbow flag and all of this, and I'm just thinking, you know, of all the churches in the country that have a, in their bylaws filed with their states for their incorporations is the Bible. And in the Bible it says God gave us a rainbow to remind us that who he is and that he is never going to flood the earth again. And if we would stand up and say we object to that flag, that rainbow, you have taken our meaning of this for thousands of years and perverted it, we can't stand for that. And those are just some things, that observations that I'd just like to make and put them out there.
Thank you for calling in, Cheryl. You know, Tony Perkins was on our campus today speaking in chapel, and he spoke to the issue that you just brought up, and I'll paraphrase it and basically say it this way. Tony challenged our students and our alumni here at Oklahoma Wesleyan University not to be fearful of entering into the public square, but to be fearless. And he challenged us to eschew fear and to embolden ourselves, grounded in Christ, with courage and conviction and confidence and spine. He argued that it is our obligation to be salt and light in a culture that's desperately in need of it. A culture that's rotting and a culture that's dark needs salt, needs light, and it's our obligation as the body of Christ to provide it. So spot on, Cheryl. We are obligated to engage. We are obligated to bring the truth into a culture that will not be free without it. Again, you have no freedom if you don't acknowledge the fences that God has built for us to live freely within those broader boundaries of his creation. That's the paradox of discipline and freedom. G.K. Chesterton, if you want to have freedom, build a fence. And you have no liberty without law. And when you get rid of the big laws, you don't get liberty, you get thousands of little laws that rush in to fill the vacuum. One of the things that I love to speak on over and over again, because our culture so desperately needs that. So, is C of O right to require its students to stand for the national anthem and respect the flag? Absolutely. Is he right? Is Jerry Davis right to ask the guests on his campus to honor the values that his institution holds for patriotism and the liberty that the flag and the anthem represent? Absolutely. Jerry Davis has the right, and I would even argue the obligation, to expect his guests as well as his students to honor that. Now, do I have the right, as a Christian institution, to expect my students to honor Jesus Christ? Absolutely I do. Do I have the right to expect the guests that attend my campus to participate in sport, to honor the Christian lifestyle, the Christian vocabulary, the Christian commitment that we have? Absolutely. If they don't, can we penalize them? Absolutely, and we do. And in fact, I've had coaches, guest coaches, not my own, guest coaches that have come to my campus in the past, and they become profane on the bench. I put up with it for a while, and then I've gone over and I've asked the security to go stand next to the bench, and if that coach continues to cuss, and if the fans from that visiting university continue to behave in a manner that is disrespectful of our Christian identity, then tell them to leave. Tell them to leave. And that's essentially what Jerry has done with regard to the College of the Ozarks and its respect for our flag and its respect for our national anthem. He's spot on. Again, the call-in number right now is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Well, as we get ready to wrap up this program, and you can still call in, by the way, I want to talk about a story. It's a story that I just read yesterday, and it's the headline was Normative Discussion of Genitals Distresses Transgenders. You got to be kidding me. Normative Discussion of Genitals Distresses Transgenders. Well, the story is essentially this, that the anatomically correct description of male and female genitalia is becoming of concern, and it's bothersome to transgenders. They feel triggered. They feel that it's a microaggression. They feel unsafe when culture starts discussing human genitalia in technically correct terms. Now, I want to ask you something. Who's anti-science in this story? Who is anti-science in this story? Who is the science denier? Who is the prude? We've heard for decades that conservatives are the ones who stand against science. We've been browbeat with this. Christians have been laughed at in public schools and in the public square for being prudes and for sticking our heads in the sand when it comes to sex education. Now, once again, we see the opposite is actually true. The LGBTQ community advocates are actually saying that the technical words for male and female genitalia make them feel, quote-unquote, feel uncomfortable, and they are demanding that their feelings be respected. Well, what about the facts? What about the scientific facts of the male and the female? What about the facts of human reproduction? What about the facts of STDs? What about the facts of human responsibility and personal morality and culpability? Who is the denier in this story? The one who believes in the lie of transgenderism, or the one who knows the truth of transformation? The one who understands that he's the Imago Dei, made in the image of God, and has personal morality, culpability, and the ability to decide how to behave? Or the one who actually thinks that he's the Imago Dog, that he's nothing but the image of the animal, and he's going to be defined by his appetite, his belly, his instincts, his habits, his inclinations? Who is the science denier in this story? Who believes in science, and who's denying it? Hunter in Texas, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, first time calling into the show. I appreciate you taking my call. I was telling your call screener, I think the problem that we have is, and why people are all upset about the national anthem and stuff is that we as Americans, at least the last couple of generations, are by and large uneducated about who they are as Americans. So we are suffering from a major identity crisis. They don't even know their Bill of Rights. But they'll go and they'll protest in the streets and tear up the place and say, you know, I'm marching for my rights. And then you ask them, well, what are your rights? And they can't tell you. It's like, well, one of the rights is you can peaceably protest, but it doesn't give you a right to tear the place up, like what happened at Berkeley with Ben Shapiro a couple of weeks ago. I mean, that was an absolute disgrace. So I think what you said about this gentleman from Missouri at his college, he absolutely has a right to do that. And honestly, in the last segment, you said that you've told other teams, coaches, hey, if you can't clean up your language or your fans can't, get out of here. I mean, that's just common sense. And yet some people, I'm sure, heard your voice and said, well, that's just not the Christian thing to do. Well, what is? I mean, am I supposed to sit there and allow myself to be, you know, assaulted? It's really a form of disrespect, not just to an individual. It's a disrespect and a dishonoring to Jesus Christ himself. Whether you believe in him or not, that's what it's about. There's no decency because we've lost our identity.
Hunter, thanks you. Thank you. I don't even know if I can say much more. Very eloquent, very well put, spot on. What you just said makes all the sense in the world. I would add this. Not only is it disrespectful to Oklahoma Wesleyan University to use profanity in my gymnasium, and disrespectful to Christ to use profanity in my gymnasium. It's disrespectful to other fans. It's disrespectful to other players. It's also disrespectful to the referees. You know who comes to me first and foremost when this stuff gets out of control on my campus, when a visiting team starts behaving poorly? It's the referees. They come to me and they say, you better control this. You better control this, because they expect respect, and they're not going to have respect if there are no fences around the freedom that we enjoy for the sport. Again, this is Dr. Everett Piper. Enjoyed sitting in for Tony this afternoon. And I know it's the weekend, and go enjoy it. But remember this, keep fighting the good fight, because you know who wins.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.